Draft day, halfway through our show, and we are monitoring the interwebs here. If anything should break regarding the Steelers and Brandon Ayuk, we will tell you about it here first. If there's any breaking news around the NFL that may wind up affecting the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll tell you about it here first. You can give us a ring, 412-928-9370. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Pat Bostic usually is late. He actually arrived here on time today, and then he wound up leaving the studio. Now he's back in the studio, but he's shuffling through a bag. It is Bring Your Child to Work Day, and so he brought his son. And I'm just going to guess his son's name is Pathew Bostic Jr. I don't know that to be the case, but he looks like a spitting image of Pat Bostic. Good morning, Pat. How are you, buddy? Oh, we were so close to getting the microphone on.
No, he's in the wrong seat.
Oh, you're in the wrong seat.
Do you want me to go over there?
Yes.
We need position flexibility out of you, Bostic. We need you to be tackle eligible and be able to snap the ball and play center.
Right.
His kid looks just like him.
Just like him.
Just like him. Spinning image.
Better athlete, though.
A chip off the old block.
Definitely a better athlete.
I also heard this. We were told yesterday that Pat Bostic played in a golf event at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. And all I can say to that is, man, you got a lot of nerve showing back up in that state, man. You got a lot of nerve going
down
there.
They love me there.
Yeah, they're big fans of Pat Bostic.
Yeah.
That's more or less Virginia at the Greenbrier. I mean, that's a hike.
It takes forever to get there because you're winding all the way through West Virginia, those country roads. It takes forever to get there.
Beautiful drive, though.
Pat just plays dad all the time. He's playing dad today and played dad in West Virginia and Greta Greenbrier. Always being dad.
Doran, I say this with all due respect, but go to hell. I mean, all due respect.
You know that the Greenbrier has America's only private casino?
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you. You should be a spokesperson for West Virginia Tourism, Bostic.
One of the first Pitt-centric shows I did for The Fan in 2011 was with Pony at the Wheeling Casino.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it like a big barn?
Pretty much, but it was half decent. But
did you see Dana Holgorsen?
We would drive together on 79. No, I didn't see Dana. Saw Huggy.
He's not allowed there.
No, but
Dana's not allowed.
But we would drive out there. I kept thinking to myself, like, we're actually doing a pit show in Wheeling.
That is like, bizarre and dangerous, in fact.
We had fun, though, and Pony and I really bonded at that point.
All right, Bostic. Let's get down to brass tacks. Actually, now we got another person to introduce here. What's your son's name and how old?
Trey. He's 7.
Trey, you told me his name before.
Yes.
And I already forgot.
Trey Patrick. He would have been Patrick the 3rd, but I lost that battle.
How hard did you fight for it?
Not hard at all.
Okay.
No.
You're like, it ends with me.
The white flag was raised immediately.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the draft. Duh. It is draft day. Ben Roethlisberger did an interview recently, and he said he thinks that the center position gets undersold. Like, he thinks it's as important a position as there is to a quarterback in the NFL. Now, the Steelers are going to have options available at them at 20. They seem to love. They consider Graham Barton a generational talent, according to Jerry Dulac. You've got JPJ. You've got Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Just how important is center to a quarterback? Is it more important than a tackle, in your opinion?
I've consistently said that it's not. I've said that the tackle position I would value more. My opinion is slightly changing as I've seen. I think Schefter posted maybe yesterday that in terms of like hit percentage on draft picks, I think the center position has been, you know, upward like close to 50% in terms of first round hits, like starting immediately and playing. And I've seen a couple reports that have alluded to that, which is a good sign. You know, I think they're both important. Listen, one's not vastly important. The other one's just, you know, nominal. I think they're both really important, and it comes down to the evaluation of the player. I think you take the best available at that point, and if Graham Barton is their guy and they value him ahead of a tackle in terms of just their grade.
Yeah.
Not positionally. Their grade as a player. Then you go center.
How can you get that true evaluation, and how can, you know, there be reports that he's generational whenever the last time he played center was his freshman year in college?
Yeah.
And he's been playing tackle. I mean, did he play whenever we were down there?
He did. He's played every position, which I think adds to value for the center position. If you can snap and you've played the position before, certainly it's going to be faster. You're going to be dealing with more variety in defenses. You know, I think probably the fact that he goes to Duke is, you know, he's a smart guy, right? Which it could be somewhat painting with a broad brush, but you would, he's all academic. He's, you know, all the things you want to see, and he's position flexible. You know, you have to know everyone's responsibility at the center position. You have to. Every call is starts and ends with you. So I'm sure that adds to the intrigue there and the lure to Barton. So it is tough not playing the position in 3 years, but you know, snapping the ball is for someone that's done it before is kind of like riding a bike.
Would you, sorry, Crowley? Would you want your center to be? You're still mad at me, Daddy Bostic. Would you want your center to be taller than you?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
I think, candidly, for Russell Wilson, every center in the National Football League is going to be taller than him. So that's just the fact. Same with Drew Brees. Same with Bryce Young. Same with certainly Kyler Murray. So he doesn't really have a choice. Justin Fields, 6'1", probably going to be the same. Peyton Manning, no worries.
Do you think that would affect them though?
No, I mean, first of all, you know, of all positions, they're the most bent over at the start of the play, and in most cases, they're moving one direction or another. So they're not standing right in front of you, and they're trying to help somebody. So generally speaking, a player that's blocking gets about, I don't know, between 8 and 12 inches shorter when they're blocking. So six foot, not going to bother you. Now, if you're 6'8", 6'9", and playing center, I'd love to see that.
Let's cut it this way then, Bostic. And your son, I now see him. Trey is in the producer booth with Nicholas Callis. So
I wanted him to get the full experience of, you know, just being in the room with a savant.
Yes. Yes. And if you want to learn about radio, that's your man right there, Trey, Nicholas Harry Callis. I just have to point this out. Two things. One, is it a little red hair in there?
Lot.
Are you a redhead?
No, my dad.
You're a bald head.
My dad, that's true.
Why?
My dad has red hair, and his mother had red hair, so it's...
My little redhead's coming in today, Nora. She'll be prancing around here at about 10 o'clock. Yeah.
That's...
Trey, you ever look at your dad and think, man, I got to enjoy this hair while I got it. Like, I got to get the head and shoulders lathered up in there now, because later on in life, I'm not going to be doing it.
You know, somewhere. I was doing the show Saturday, and I heard one of your ads for a window company, and I hope your kids see you just completely fold when a salesperson comes to your front door and tries to sell you something, and they're nice, and, you know, you offer them a Guinness Zero, and all of a sudden you've been laced for $30,000 worth of new windows when you just replaced them 2 years ago, and they can see the strength of their father in action. I'll leave it at that.
I think he got the better of that exchange. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Okay, on to the football. Would you rather, if you were Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, the Steelers take a tackle or a wide receiver in the first round? What is more important to you, Pat Bostic, quarterback man? The guy you're throwing it to, or the guy protecting your butt? Your bald-ass butt.
Getting who you're who's protecting you? I just think with the way they're going to play and what Arthur Smith's going to want to do, line is too important right now. And it's proven. I mean, look at St. Brown at Detroit. You can find value at that position in the second, third, fourth round even at the receiver position. You can certainly find it at tackle, but or center, but I think the earlier the better. And I anticipate they'll go that way.
That's what we're thinking too. You want wide receiver, and I do get that.
Unless they trade. I actually, you know what? Honestly, I still want wide receiver. Not in the first round, even if they trade. So say they get Ayuk, they cleared up the cap space, obviously. If they get Ayuk, I still would want a receiver in the third round.
I'm with you on that. See, I'm still rattled by the windows comment, Bostic. I'm with you because I'm still not like totally in love with George Pickens and giving him a second contract. And if you sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract, which you would if you're trading for him, you're not going to spend $50 million on two receivers, so you are going to need to have a pipeline there. All right, when we come back, the Steelers have decided that they're not going to pick up that $25 million option, that fifth-year option on Justin Fields. What might it look like at the end of the year? Are they going to pay Russell Wilson? Like, what is going to happen here? We'll talk about all the hypotheticals when we come back, and then we'll dive back into the draft with our guy, Pat Bostic, and his son, Trey. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. And you don't have options. You just write in. It's a write-in ballot. If the Steelers stay at 20, who do you want to see them draft? You can write your responses at underscore Adam Crowley. Back to the draft in a couple of minutes. Pat Bostic joining us, our friend, for the next hour. The Steelers have decided not to pick up the Justin Fields fifth-year option, $25 million. We knew this when they traded for him. You're not trading a sixth-round pick that could be a fourth-round pick for a guy that you're then just going to pay $25 million to, really sight unseen, before he even works out with your guys. The question is, what happens now? I am fascinated by this. If they give him a bridge deal, or if they give him the Jordan Love $12 million deal, it's hard for me to see Russell Wilson being all that good with that. You know what I mean? Like, he's been given pole position, Russell Wilson has. That's from Mike Tomlin's lips. He's not under contract for the following seasons after this one, but Justin Fields would be. That'd be interesting. I think it could rub him the wrong way.
I mean, he's also making $39 million.
I know that, but in terms of security as being the Steelers quarterback.
I mean, regardless, he was only going to get a one-year deal wherever he went. I mean, he was betting on himself. He's still going to bet on himself, and all he has to do is go out there and take care of his business and play well, and then he will probably get a deal. And then Justin Fields will be the backup, and then they'll figure it out down the road. But, I mean, I think that any case scenario for Russell Wilson is, like, I have to go play.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean.
And he wanted the best chance he thought to win.
Yeah.
Where he played. Now, how many years would you advocate for Fields on that bridge deal?
So, I've been looking at this Jordan Love deal, and
this is when Aaron Rodgers was there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, they signed him to a $12 million deal, and then they spread out some of the signing bonus over a few years after this. But really, it's a few years, but I've seen some people frame it as a one-year $12 million. I don't understand it. I'm looking at it here.
I thought it was 4 years.
It's like four for 12. I'm looking at SpotTrack right now. It drives me crazy, the NFL salary breakdowns. But so it's listed at the top, 1 year, $13.5 million. So let's just say you do that for Justin Fields, right? And Russell Wilson wins you a lot of games this year. He's going to command what Baker Mayfield made, maybe $33 million, something like that. Are we comfortable with the Steelers giving that to Russell Wilson and paying their backup quarterback $13.5 million? Thus, you're paying $46 million for two quarterbacks. Like that, to me, I don't think that's feasible. And so if I'm Russell Wilson and I see that they give Justin Fields a $13 million deal, I'm not thinking that no matter what I do, I'm going to be back here next year. And that might rub me the wrong way.
Again, I go back to what Doran said. He's going to bet on himself and say he's going to go win him, you know, 11, 12 games and get him to the playoffs, win a playoff game, and you have no choice at that point, a la Tampa and Baker Mayfield. I think also if they win, I mean, from a probability standpoint, if they win, their draft position is going to be weak in terms of getting a quarterback mm-hmm. next year. Fields is effectively, age-wise, anymore he's a second-year play, like a first-year going into a second-year type of age. When you look at Kenny, when you look at Jaden Daniels, some of these guys that have been five places, mm-hmm. right? They're older. So you're in a solid position there. Yeah, you're paying your backup more than most, but he's got starting experience. And he's a guy that can come in and give you a change of pace if you need it. I think their room's in good shape for the next couple years, should Justin Fields improve. Because Russell Wilson's 35 years old. You know, I know he wants to play till he's 40.
Right. What did he say? He wants to play 5 to 7 more years and win two more
and
rings.
And he looks great. He's throwing the ball great. I mean, he hit the baseball great the other day in batting practice. You know, they give every reason to believe that he's physically capable of it. But is his mind there? Are the instincts there? Has he been beaten down too much? All the things that factor in as you get older as a player. And I think it's a matter of when you can validate that Fields' potential can be reached. You're not going to find that out in preseason.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to find that out in training camp. And as much as Mike Tomlin wants to say that there's a lot of meat left on the bone, you're not going to be able to eat that meat until you find out in a game when the bullets are flying, can he do it and not turn it over and not be the worst fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL over the past three seasons? Those are the things that you're not going to be able to find out. So you're hoping, just like you're hoping with a rookie. So, again, you're probably going to overpay for both going the next season if they're both back.
Well, I mean, as from a player's like mindset, and you know, I was taught this, you know, my early years in the NFL, like you're not just playing for I wasn't just playing for the Buffalo Bills. I was playing for 31 other teams. So if you're Russell Wilson and you ball out and say that they do pay Justin Fields, you ball out, like you're not just playing for the Steelers. You're right. Playing for all right, like this guy can come in here and, you know, be our quarterback. Even if the Steelers don't pay him money, somebody will.
Right.
And that's all you're really worried about. Like, I'm sure that they've sat down whenever Russell Wilson signed. It was like, you're not a stopgap quarterback, but we're making a pit stop for both of us. Hey, if it works, then we'll continue on the journey. But if it doesn't and, you know, you want to go in a different direction, then fine as well. But we need you for right now. And then we'll figure it out later. And I'm sure that his mindset was the same. Like, look, I'm getting an opportunity right now to kind of reshape my image, you know, do a makeover, and we'll see from there. I mean, and whether you pay somebody else and you pay me, great. If you don't, then somebody else will if I play at the high level, if I play at a high level this year.
Let's lay out the scenarios, right? He goes out and play. Russell Wilson plays well. The Steelers win, you know, 11, 12 games, make the playoffs, and win a playoff game. I think the Steelers at that point are in a position where they have to bring him back. Right, Justin Fields is likely already going to be signed at that point.
Right.
To a multi-year or at least a short-term deal that's solid backup money, better than he's making now on his rookie deal, and certainly, but not at quite the $25 million fifth-year option.
Right.
Still in a similar situation then to what you were this year, except you have to pay the freight for Russell Wilson, not Denver. If he goes out as okay, and they're like they were last year, it's going to heat up as the season goes on to put Fields in the game. If he stinks, and they stink, Fields is going in, and one of two things then happens. They either start to play well, in which case you feel great about Justin Fields, or they play okay, they're the same, or a little bit worse, and you're stuck with Fields, Wilson's gone, and you're drafting a guy.
Yeah.
High. And you're right back where you started. So I think for the Steelers, they want option A. And that's why everyone's saying this is a competition. I think it's blowing smoke. They want Russell Wilson to go out and play well because they think they can win now.
If that's the case, I don't give Justin Fields the
they may not
bridge deal. Yeah.
They may not. I mean,
because I want every dollar and cent available to me if the expectation is he can come in just Russell Wilson, win games, and win us a playoff game, then I'm not paying Justin Fields. I'll take my chances when he becomes a free agent that, hey, if we like him enough as a backup, we'll just pay him then. You know what I mean? Because if you pay Justin Fields now that $13 million deal or something like that,
there was
for
no
Jordan
market.
Love,
there was no market for Fields,
right?
For anything other than a 6th-round pick, but one better offer.
You know what it makes me think of though, Pat, and it's a really good point by you. There was not a market for Mitch Trubisky either, but he sat and watched, and then all of a sudden the Steelers pay him to come in and be their quote unquote starter. I mean, there might be some value that can be earned bizarrely for Justin Fields watching Russell Wilson go out there and win football games. I don't subscribe to that being a legitimate reason to want that guy, but that is what happened with Mitch Trubisky.
Is Justin Fields in a position to turn down even a low offer?
Probably not based on the marketplace.
So, I mean, give him a low offer for multiple years. You need a backup quarterback. I mean, we saw this past year, 8 to 9 backup quarterbacks were starting for at one point in the NFL in the middle of the season. You need a backup quarterback. Russell Wilson, even if you do sign him long-term, you still have Justin Fields, but he is going to be 36, 37 years old. You're going to need Justin Fields at some point. You are. I mean, look what happened to the Steelers this year. Look at Kenny gets hurt, then you get Mitch, and then you get Mace. I mean, you use 3 quarterbacks this year just to get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a backup quarterback. I say give him a low offer. He won't turn it down because he's not going to have any other offers anywhere. Nobody else wanted him. He'll sign that. You have him locked up for a little bit. And then you figure it out with Russell Wilson. If you want to sign him to a longer-term deal, maybe a 3-year deal, if he does do well this year, you have 2 guys that, you know, if somebody does get hurt, somebody can go in.
Yeah, I think I really think Omar Khan played this really well. I really do. And I questioned it. I certainly wanted the best for Kenny. And they deemed that at the point when they had to make a decision to make Russell Wilson their starting quarterback as of right now, they deemed him better than Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And at that point, they decided to move on from both of them. It was going to happen. They waited out on Justin Fields. They liked each other. That there's a mutual respect there.
They could have had him earlier, yeah.
They could have had him earlier for more. And they waited. And The only problem I can find here is if it's week 8 or 9 and they're 500 and Wilson's just playing okay, but they're still in the wild card race. They're still in there. And it's, oh, he's playing good enough to win. And you're finding nothing out about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see. But again, if that doesn't happen, the only really complicating situation would be if someone out there says, wow, Russell Wilson really showed Justin Fields how to play the game.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's the scenario, which you aptly put, could give them value, which is a plus. It only puts you in a position where you have to get another quarterback again, and you probably have 2 to 3 years realistically left with Wilson.
You know, Doran, I think from a contract standpoint, I think you painted the best possible scenario. If the hypothetical is Russell Wilson wins you football games and maybe a playoff game and you'd pay that guy, but you'd have had Justin Fields sign on a longer bridge deal instead of just doing $13 million, you give him 8 for 4 years or something like that. I'm just pulling a number out mm-hmm. of my bum here, but yeah, I think that's the best case scenario because you would be able to spread that money around and then thus not hamstring you for what you would want to do at that point with Russell Wilson.
And then, I mean, you could also like look at if he doesn't play, like teams are desperate and quarterbacks get hurt, like you could trade him too and get assets back.
Mm-hmm.
You could give him a deal and then you could trade him and get a 4th-round pick back.
This is all also tied to Brandon Ayuk. I'll tell you why I think that coming up next. We'll get into it hot and heavy with our guy, Pat Bostic. It is Bring Your Child to Work Day, and I'm looking at my Twitter mentions here, guys, and you know how you'll get those bots that say bleep in bio? I got one here, and this screen is huge. And
yeah,
it
I got the same one.
It didn't blur out.
I know.
And I can't scroll up on my Twitter feed because some kid's going to walk by and see a naked woman.
I just scrolled down, and Pat looked over at me, and I scrolled up real quick. Because
I know.
He's going to be like, Doran, what are you doing?
These kids are going to be traipsing through here. We're going to look like perverts.
Well, it's also, I mean, we're on camera.
I know. And we used to have one hanging up right there that would have we would have been violating FCC. Okay.
Tough life.
Coming up next, Brandon Ayuk could be an option for the Steelers. It sounds at least possible, if not likely, that the 49ers are going to deal him. What might it cost, and what does that have to do with the Steelers' quarterback situation? We'll tell you next. It is Take Your Child to Work Day. Pat Bostic is here for the full hour. Mark Cavalli going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10 as we're blowing out our draft coverage. But Bostic has brought his son, 7-year-old Trey Bostic, and he'll be doing our next fan headline.
Nice.
Move over, Callis! Trey Bostic's coming for your spot, baby.
This could be a seminal moment.
It might be a union issue, but we don't care.
No.
Don't care at all.
It'll be all right.
If intern Sam Perry was doing headlines, sure. We can have Trey do headlines.
Trey's going to be 1,000 times better.
Why would you do that to our poor intern Sam?
Because I know that Trey's going to be better.
Wow.
Callis did say Trey's back there spitting hot takes.
Right.
So we're going to let him do the next headline. Excited about that. One of the rumors out, I wish I should have sounded more excited. We are excited about that. There we go. I was just trying to transition. So one of the rumors out there, Alex Highsmith gets his contract restructured. The Steelers now find themselves just magically the day before the draft with an extra $7 million to spend and $18 million now under the salary cap. So, of course, people have connected dots. Could Brandon Ayuk be coming here? Now, you'd have to pay him a lot of money. And you'd have to give up something significant to get this guy in here, no doubt about it. One of the things that's been kicked around is the 49ers are looking for a first-round pick. If not this year's first-round pick, maybe next year's first-round pick. We just talked about Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Pat, I can't trade next year's first-round pick. I don't know how this quarterback thing is going to shake out. I don't know what the season's going to look like. If there's disaster, you might need to take a quarterback next year. And if you don't have a first-round pick because you traded for Brandon Ayuk, well, that's no good.
I like it.
Man.
I think you go get him.
You would do it for next year's first.
I might even consider doing it for this year's first. Which goes against what I said earlier. I'm fully aware of that. But it's much more of a sure bet than drafting a receiver.
Yep.
This all goes back to what they actually believe. Because in football, Doran played at the highest level. You know who you are. when you're in the draft room, when you're in a team meeting, when you're in a staff meeting, you know who you are. And if you believe that you can win a Super Bowl, that you can win the division, and you can do it now, you get Brandon Ayuk. If you don't, and you think that this is going to be we're just transitional, then you don't do it. You don't mortgage the future.
Do you think they're that close?
I don't. But I have every reason to believe with the Russell Wilson move and otherwise they think they do, and they think they owe it to Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. And they have been deficient on offense. They haven't had consistent receiver production. And Brandon Ayuk has been everything that is consistent. And is he a bona fide number one? No, he's a number one in Pittsburgh. They don't have one right now, in my opinion.
Right.
They don't have one.
You're not a big George Pickens believer.
I am
hopeful.
I am blown away with his ability, but the consistency is lacking. And they've brought in some supplemental pieces. Quez Watkins and supplemental. You get Ayuk out there, and all of a sudden, you got a chance to be really dynamic. And he gives you that route runner, that guy that can work in a slot, it can play outside, it can do it all that Arthur Smith can just kind of play with. But all you're doing then, I prefer next year's pick.
Yeah.
Because I still think he goes center or tackle in the first round. If it's this year's pick, you're getting a lesser option at either one of those positions in the second round and potentially beyond.
I kind of look at it like this, and I want to ask you guys this question. I think, Pat, you kind of alluded to where you stand on this, but Crowley, so say Deontay Johnson wasn't, you know, outside of football, a mess or whatever. Say he's still here. How would you think the Steelers would do this year with the roster that they have right now, but Deontay Johnson still here?
If he wasn't a total...
Right. If he was just on the field, how would you feel about the Steelers this year?
They'd have one less hole than they presently have.
Would you think that they would actually be contenders?
I said it last year, so I got to stand by it. I thought that they were competent, consistent quarterback play away from being pretty doggone good. I thought that was going to come from Kenny after preseason. They got it at the end of the year with Mason Rudolph. And so what I've been saying is if Russell Wilson can be Mason Rudolph, but for 17 games instead of three, I like their roster. Their roster, forget quarterback, but their roster better than Kansas City. I like their roster better than Buffalo. I like their roster better than a lot of contenders. So, yeah, I think they'd be pretty good and set up in a nice spot to draft a tackle, then draft a center, maybe another wide receiver. Yeah, they'd have one less hole, in my opinion.
They, in my mind, would be, I'd be like, okay, like now we're cooking. You got George Pickens going into, what, his third year. You have Deontay Johnson, and you have Pat Freiermuth. You got the running backs, and now you just got to address a little bit on the offensive line. You just signed, the linebacker out of
Queen,
Patrick Queen. You got Deshaun Elliott. You have JPJ on the other side. You got Micah Fitzpatrick. You got TJ Watt. I'm like, man, this team, man, not bad. Think of that with Brandon Ayuk.
I know, but the difference is if I have to give up a first-round pick.
For next year? Who cares?
Okay, so for next year, I understand what you're saying.
Next year's first-round pick, who cares?
Well, and to spit in the face of my own argument, if I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, I said, what happens at quarterback? I want to have that first-round pick available to me next year just in case everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
I don't want to cut you off, but if something happens at quarterback this year where those two don't pan out, you have bigger issues. And you might as well go all in right now, because if something does happen, you got to go to a first-round pick for your quarterback next year, there's going to be people gone. And this whole organization will be flipped upside down. So you might as well just go all in.
Well, I think they'd have issues. I don't think anything would be flipped upside down.
If these two quarterbacks don't pan out and you have to draft again?
They'd be flipping over the roster from a quarterback standpoint. I don't think Arthur Smith would be fired after a year. Or Mike Tomlin would be like, oh, I understand what you're saying, though. My point was there's less of a chance of things going to hell if you do have Brandon Ayuk. Like, you would give up next year's first for Brandon Ayuk. And now Russell Wilson's got Ayuk and Pickens and Freiermuth. You're probably not going to bottom out.
I think with Ayuk, this receiving core is vastly better than it would have been status quo with Deontay Johnson.
Right.
You think as a football player, guys, that Ayuk is significantly better
than
Deontay?
Yes, I think he's better. I think he's vastly better with Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins,
yes.
And also certainly George Pickens. I think it's vastly better.
Yeah, and I thought that they were going to be pretty good with Deontay Johnson. They are, like Pat said, vastly better with Brandon Ayuk.
And what excites me about that move, too, is I think it's indicative of potentially showing the versatility of Arthur Smith. Because at that point, you're looking at having four guys that played significant snaps last year for each of their respective teams. In Ayuk, Watkins, who was more supplemental, Van Jefferson certainly played a lot of football for the Rams, and obviously George Pickens was a starter for the Steelers. I don't think they have two tight ends that they can really trot out there and feel like we've got two passing threats out there. They don't. They just don't. I mean, Hayward is a fullback hybrid. We haven't seen Washington do anything in the passing game, and Freiermuth needs to stay healthy. So we could be seeing a team that's in more 11 personnel, which is with how those two backs run mm-hmm. and with what Russell Wilson can do, it intrigues me. It intrigues me a lot. And especially given what Ayuk was used to in San Francisco and all the stuff they do with their receivers in the running game and so forth, it intrigues me.
It is Take Your Child to Work Day. Trey Bostic is here. He is going to take Callis's job for this next fan headline. We're very excited about it. Callis, is it ready? Did you write this up for him?
Yeah, he's ready.
Okay. It's all good to go. Trey Bostic right now with a fan headline before we have one more segment with his dad, Pat Bostic.
The Pirates lost yesterday to the Brewers 3-2. The Pirates can still win the series. The final game, it's today at 12:35 p.m. Listen on KDK AM for more. Go to 93thefan.com.
Someone already taking umbrage to me saying I think the Steelers have a really good roster, saying I said the same thing last year. Yeah, I think it was a pretty good roster. They went 10-7, and they got bad quarterback play most of the year. Like, that would mean to me they got a pretty good roster. I bumped my elbow. Now my whole left arm's, like, numb.
You are a mess.
I am always
but you,
a mess.
But you are correct, and you did also underscore the fact that they got bad quarterback play and you still thought they had a good roster, so I don't know why they're coming at you.
Yeah, people hear what they want to hear. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10, our Steelers insider, and he already dropped a cuss word in front of one of the kids here today for Bring Your Child to Work Day. A ton of folks texting in. Well done, Trey Bostic, who did our fan headline.
Nice.
He is Pat Bostic's son, obviously, 7 years old, and he's coming for Callis's job. The youth of America is coming for all of us, boys. We mm-hmm. better hold on to what we got while we got it here.
Did I ever tell you the story of Hillgrove?
Go ahead, please.
Doing an interview with the Syracuse student radio. He sat down, and they're like, well, welcome, Bill Hillgrove. And he goes, all right, guys, which one of you is taking my job next?
Right. Right.
Was Rob King there by any chance? I shouldn't have said that.
Wow.
All right. So, well, he retired. It's not like he took his job. He retired. We love Bill. Okay. So, before we let you go here, Pat, best guess at who they're taking today, 20th overall.
Barton.
Yeah.
Thorne doesn't like it. I can tell he's...
He doesn't like that he hadn't played center for 3 years.
He's got trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know which scout put this out there that got other scouts on board saying that he is going to be the next really good first-round center whenever – were they at a pro day or at the combine where they were like, hey, let's see you snap. You haven't snapped in a while. And it's like, oh, my gosh. This guy, why didn't he play center at Duke?
Well, and it happened so late.
Right.
Like, we're talking about within the last month, it was JPJ and Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier or JPJ? Who do you like better? Those were the guys both thought of as potential first-round options. And then all of a sudden, this guy just – sprints past them to the point where Jerry Dulac wrote a story in the Post-Gazette yesterday saying there are people within the Steelers organization that view him as a generational center. I think Pat's right, though. Like, if what Jerry wrote is not a smokescreen and he's not being used, and it is to be believed, if Graham Barton is there at 20, they're taking him. And if it is to be believed, they might trade up and get him if they believe he's generational. If I were betting on the draft today, and I probably will, there's only one guy I would bet on the Steelers drafting, and it's that guy. Mm. There are too many other options, but that seems to be the guy they're in love with. Pat, this was fun, man.
Enjoyed it. Appreciate you guys taking care of the little guy today. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
He's the man.
He is.
He really is.
He's got confidence.
He does have a lot of confidence, and I like that about him. So we'll keep it up.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you, Trey. Good work, buddy. Coming up next, the opposite of a child physically, but he is very much a child emotionally and mentally. Mark Caboli is going to join us for a full hour on Bring Your Child to Work Day. Fan weather is brought to you, that was mean, by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 58.